As you take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 13, please. And if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, please. And we'll read together these verses. I'll read all of them, of course, and you'll join me on the even verses here as we go through in verses 1 through 9 of chapter 13 of the book of Luke. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell, and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And today as we kind of look at these things and just kind of summing up these sermons that we've been talking about cultivating this month of January, As I've tried to do a good job of presenting the theme of cultivate in our lives this year of 2022, coming down to the end, if you will, of the idea, and that is the ball's in our court. The choice is ours to make. All the preparation either is taking place or has taken place for us. And it brings us down to verse 9. And today's message is simply titled, The Qualifications of Cultivation. This is the qualifying moment. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. It's an if or if not circumstance for us. And who knows? I don't know what this year will hold. This may be your last opportunity. This may be my last opportunity. This may be someone's last opportunity this year to be saved. I can tell you story after story of people that got saved one day and the next day they died. It was almost too late. I can also tell you stories of people that were given an opportunity to be saved and they said, I'll just wait. And they expired that day and never took that opportunity. We don't know the timing of it. In our story, 3 years of unproductivity, 1 year of an opportunity to try to produce something. But he says, and if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. God's working in our lives, folks. That's no question about that. But are we responding? Are we achieving the qualifications of cultivation? Is God's work for vain? Is it for naught? Is it for nothing? I sure hope not. I don't think we as a plant ought to do that to the one that's digging about us and spending the time and putting in the effort in. I think we ought to produce. We ought to produce fruit. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. Just in a quick review, we've talked about cultivation and we've talked about the tilling and preparing of things to improve and to be enlarged and to produce fruit. It often implies digging about of the ground, loosening up the soil so the roots can freely go where they need to go to receive the nutrients of the land. It also improves pruning and fertilizing, watering, providing the proper sunlight and things like that. I remember one time over in Arlington at our house that we had there, the grass around one of our live oak tree that we had in the front yard was always sparse and you know, thin and stuff. And one year I decided to call in a crew, and they came and trimmed all the trees and everything, and it let more sunlight through, and suddenly that grass just started, because the sunlight was so we cultivated, if you will, pruned the tree back, but it benefited the grass below because of the sunlight that was let in. All these things work together for our benefit. The work is done by God. All we have to do is respond. We talked about a saving time, that God wishes that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We talked about a fertilizing time, as an established plant in the garden of God should be given the nutrients and things that it needs to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's to His glory and to His honor. And then last week we talked about bearing fruit. That without Him, we can do nothing. We must abide in the vine, because the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. We understand that as the branch of the vine, we must produce fruit. The warning about not bearing fruit is real. And Jesus says that if a branch does not bear fruit, it will be taken away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You see, God wants to work with us. He wants to do a work in us and through us. He's chosen us as the vessels of His work. Aren't you glad? I mean, isn't that exciting? Well, why would God even bother? You know, it said that if in the Bible that if we would be quiet, then He'd have the rocks cry out. Well, then why doesn't God just use rocks? They're a little harder, but I don't know if they're any more hard-headed than we are. That was a joke. Okay, not a very good one, I suppose. I'm just, really, right? He's chosen to use us to make us part of this. I mean, why would He even bother to take the time and expense and difficulty of offering for us to be planted in His vineyard? And then to be cared for, so that we can produce fruit, and more fruit, and much fruit. God wants us to be fruitful branches. The vine is going to give us all that we need to produce the fruit that He wants us to produce. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Today we're just going to be really talking about being fruitful or being unfruitful. These are the qualifications of this parable. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Are you there in Psalm 1? It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So this sounds like someone who loves God, and as God said about Job, is a righteous man and loved God and escheweth evil, pushes evil away, meditates in the law of God and in the word of God. This person, it says here, is like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It says the ungodly are not so. So think about this. And this is tough. The godly, those that don't walk the evil way and in the path of sinners and in the seat of the scornful and all these things, that love the law of God and meditate and participate in those things, they're fruitful. But the ungodly are not. As we take a look at our account of our lives as being fruitful, have we proven to be godly or ungodly? It's a pretty clear delineation, is it not? And if we are godly, if we are this way and not standing in the way of sinners and not sitting in the seat of scornful and not walking in the counsel of the ungodly, but rather delighting in God and His law. And as Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, we shall be like a tree. We shall bring forth in our fruit in our season. And we shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. The way of the ungodly shall perish. Today I'm not talking about either having or losing salvation. That's not up for debate. Because if you have salvation, you can't lose it. But can I tell you something? You can lose reward. You can lose opportunity to do for the Lord as we should. You say, well, Pastor Combs, I mean, is God really going to do that? Is he really going to cut us down? Is he really going to purge us and to if we don't produce fruit? Well, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. It's just a principle. You say, well then, how long do I have? I can't answer that question. Well, how many opportunities do I have? I don't know. And frankly, you don't either. Really, nor should we. Because you know what we would do? Oh, this is the year. If I don't get busy, then it's over with. So I'm going to get busy. We're in kind of coming to the close of football season, right? You can even use this in any type of sport per se. You know, you ever heard about the phenomenon of the contract year? You know what I'm talking about? In a player's year where it's the last year of their contract and they're looking for a new contract, their performance seems to escalate. Well, and then after they get their big contract, come on, Cowboys fans, I know you know about this. Right? Well, why are we any different? Are we not human beings? Well, if I knew this was the year that God was going to take into account my life, I'm going to shoot those numbers up. Well, this is our human nature, folks. God does allude to that. We'll get to that in just a moment. In Matthew 13, it says, he also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. Notice the seed was received. Heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. And listen to this. He becometh unfruitful. That means there was some fruitfulness before. Before it was choked out. Before it was restricted by the things of this world. Are we restricted today? Have we, being born again, have we been fruitful in our lives? Maybe that first year we saw a few figs come on the tree. And the master was pleased. And maybe even the next year, a few more figs on the tree. But then, like the Bible says here, the world and the riches and the distractions out there choked it out. And we became unfruitful. Have the cares of this life gotten in the way of your fruitfulness? Have there been some distractions in your life that have helped you to become unfruitful? Hey, it may not be sin. Do you know that not everything that the devil puts in our paths is necessarily sin? Sometimes it's just good things that we get distracted by. You know, Mary and Martha are a great example of this. I've fallen into this trap in my life, where I've been so busy about the work that I forget the God of the work. You know, I can stand here today and tell you that this has happened in my life as a minister in the ministry, where I've gotten so cumbered about and busy in the work of the church that I kind of forgot about God a little bit. Began doing things in the flesh instead of in the spirit. Oh, you evil preacher. Well, I guess I'm just human like y'all. Don't we all fall into that trap sometimes? We become a Mary or a Martha instead of being a Mary. Martha wasn't a bad lady. She was a good lady. But Jesus had to just kind of remind her. Martha, there's some things that are more important. And he didn't rebuke her because the work that she was doing wasn't right to do. She just was neglecting a greater thing. Sometimes we get busy. Sometimes the things of this world choke out that fruitfulness from us as God's people. Hey, I'm not here standing here condemning anyone today. I just want you to think about your life. I've had to sit and think about my life. Because, you know, God gives these to me first before I give them to you. In Romans chapter 5, if you'd like to turn your Bibles there, you certainly may. See another principle explained. In verse 1, the Bible tells us we're justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Do you notice that there's a much more principle here? Much more. You know, God expects much more from us. But can I tell you something? It's never more than you're able to do or accomplish. It's not an unrealistic expectation. The expectation was not defined in the parable. It just said, if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. In my opinion, since for 3 years he found none, one would have done just fine. One fig. You say, no. He would have wanted a whole crop of figs. Do you think God is that unrealistic? What about one? You say, well, I have been thinking about it, Brother Combs, and I'm not sure that I have been producing fruit like I should. But I think this year I could do one. or two? Will that be good enough for God? Can I quote Dr. Smith once again? That your best is good enough for God no matter how poor it is. But less than your best is never good enough for God no matter how good it is. Just do your best. Just do what's reasonable. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they, verily, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. You know, there are times like this where the preaching seems to get a little rough, a little prickly, perhaps. But can I tell you something? It's for our benefit. It's for our profit. Not because he hates us. And listen, I'm not saying this because I know of something that someone here or under the sound of my voice is doing that's wrong. Because I don't. And by the way, I don't decide what I preach. I just want you to know that. He does. And he knows us. He knows me. And he knows you. God wants us to be profitable, to yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness in our lives. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke 19. I know I've preached a message about this in the past. Just a few pages over from Luke 13 where we started today. This, of course, is the parable about the talents. In Luke chapter 19, and beginning in verse 12, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. It came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well done, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, thou have authority over 10 cities. The second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. He said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, and takest up that which thou laidest not down. and reapest that thou didst not sow. He saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then, gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given. And from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. I mean, that's a pretty amazing story, isn't it? See, our God's not that way, is he? Yes, he is. We just don't like to think about it, do we? Oh, yes, God's a God of love. But God's a righteous judge. And he is righteous. He is going to keep us in account of our lives. And he is just. He was just in dealing with each of those servants. And he'll be just in dealing with us. If it bear fruit, well. The one that had one and gained 10, well. The one that had one and gained 5, well. The one that did nothing, not well. In 1 Corinthians, as Paul is referencing the Lord's Supper, he tells them to examine themselves. And there's a difficulty because some were mistreating the time of the Lord's Supper, that memorial time of remembering Christ. He said, some of you are sick. Some of you are dead. Because you've misused and abused this thing. It doesn't say anywhere that those servants were kicked out of his kingdom. They were just ended. It's not about loss of salvation like I mentioned before. But it is about loss of reward. It is about what's going to happen as we stand before Christ. In Philippians chapter 1, the Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long for you all to be in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, and that ye may be sincere in judgment, and that ye may approve all things that are excellent. I already read that. It says it again. That ye may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. God wants us to be successful. He longs for us to be successful and fruitful in our lives. You understand that our works will be tried. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Is God in control of your life? Are you planted in his vineyard? Has he dug about you? Has he fertilized? Has he given to you the things that you need to be fruitful. You say, Pastor Combs, you've not really defined what being fruitful is. Listen, I can't tell you that. Psalms told us that as far as quantity, I can tell you what, but not the quantity. You say, am I supposed to produce one fig or 20 figs? Was to our several ability. We're not all the same. And as Psalm said, we're to bear our fruit in our season. It doesn't mean that every day I'm going to lead someone to Christ and every day I'm going to... I'm not the same kind of tree that somebody else is. But God knows. And I think we know. Again, like I said, doing our best is where it's at. Are you there in 1 Corinthians 3? Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. There's going to be a reckoning. There's going to be a judging, if you will, of our works before the Lord. We've already talked about, if you want to turn back to Galatians chapter 5, we've already talked about the different fruits and how God tells us that there are fruits of the Spirit and fruits of the flesh. We have an opportunity to produce the right kind of fruit in our lives. And as I said, unto the quantity, it's some 30, some 60, some 100. Some 10, some 5, some 2. I don't know. It's according to our several ability. If you're there in Galatians, look what it says about the fruit that we have an opportunity to bear. Look at verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. You see, it's our opportunity to produce fruit, the right kind of fruit, and much fruit. And it will be well for us as we stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. You know, God's not arbitrary in this. He knows our ability. He's the one that's begun a good work in us. He's the one that's laid up the foundation in our lives. That master knew what that fig tree was capable of. But it hadn't given anything. It hadn't done anything. Not all times do the things that happen in the lives of God's people end because of judgment of God. But sometimes they do. And I'm not going to be the one here to say that this person died early because of this or because of that. That's not my place. But I do know that God is faithful. And I do know that God is true. I do know that God is long-suffering. He's merciful to us. But I do not know the extent. I do not know the timeline. I think I've told you before how in life it seems like some are afforded more opportunities than others. That's not our place to decide if that's right or wrong. We don't know that, do we? But I can tell you stories of people that seemingly got off the track one time in their lives and God killed them because of it. It just seems to be that way. And then sometimes people offend and offend and offend and offend and offend. It doesn't seem like God is doing anything about it. That's not what we need to be concerned with. God knows. Was it fair for him to tell the dresser of the vineyard, hey, 4 years is it for this tree. I'm not investing any more time in it. I mean, there could have been another tree in the garden that he had been looking for fruit for 6 years and hadn't seen any. We don't know that. Why did he say that the one that had earned 10 had done good and the one that had earned 2 had done good, or 5 had done good? But the guy got 10 and this guy only got 5. I mean, wasn't there a problem there? Again, not for us to decide. What are the qualifications in this cultivation? Well, simply put, it's this, that we do what we're supposed to do with the life that God has given to us. It's individual, folks. It's not collective. It's individual. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to be fruitful in every good work. Colossians 1, it says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing and being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things. And by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated enemies and enemies in your mind by the wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made minister, who now rejoice in my flesh for his body's sake, who is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Now that's a mouthful. Could I say, as Paul was preparing himself, he said that he had finished his course, he had kept the faith. Is God pleased with your life? Have you been producing the fruit that you're supposed to produce? Have you been utilizing the work and the effort, the digging about, the fertilization of your life to the glory of God? Or to the glory of yourself? All we can be sure of is this, that we need to be fruitful. There's a reward. There's a punishment. There is a time frame, even though we may not know what it is. We know that we've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship. He said, Lord, let it alone this year also, that I may dig about it and dung it. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. There are some qualifications to this thing of bearing fruit. And I'll just sum it up in closing by saying, if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. See, Pastor Combs, are you declaring, proclaiming judgment on my life if I don't produce for God this year? No, I'm not. I wouldn't dare do such a thing. I don't know. God may give you 10 more years. But I can't guarantee that either. I just know that we're supposed to produce fruit. I just know that we're supposed to please God. I just know that we're supposed to take what he has given to us in the cultivating experiences of our life, no matter what they've been. I don't know what God has placed into your circumstances. But I do know that he has done something in you. And he wants to do something with you. And he wants us to be abundant. And he wants us to produce fruit. And he wants us to be successful. And he wants us to please him. But I also know he's a righteous judge. I also know there is a punishment. I also know, according to Scripture, there is a cutting off, if necessary. I don't want that for anyone. I want us all to be received well by our Master in producing fruit as we should. It's a cultivating process. At times, it's difficult. At times, it may be painful. But even in all of that, there is joy in rejoicing of doing our best for the Lord Jesus Christ.